From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program, Nebraska Family Alliance's weekly radio show. And today I'm thrilled to start the show by talking about how we are seeing the culture of life continue to grow, not just across Nebraska, but throughout the entire country. And I'll be joined by a state senator to talk about that shortly, and his bill that created the Choose Life license plate in Nebraska that was just unveiled at a special press conference with the governor last week. It's a fantastic plate that says Choose Life. It's a beautiful picture of a mother walking hand in hand with her child, and the money from purchasing that plate will also go to support families in need. So it's a great cause, a great plate. And we also got news last week that according to the latest data compiled by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, abortion rates in the United States have fallen to a historic low. This is something that should be celebrated by all. More people are choosing life and less people are seeking to have an abortion. This CDC report found that the abortion rate nationwide dropped 2% between 2013 and 14 and continued the steady decline in the number of abortions over the last few years, reaching the low point of 12.1 abortions per 1,000 women. And compare this to 2008, when the rate was 19.4 per 1,000. This is another great indicator that the pro-life movement and cause has continued to grow and make a difference across our country, showing love to both the mother and the baby, not just being anti-abortion, but being pro-life, telling the truth about the unborn and helping women find alternatives to abortion. And this good news was followed last week by a press conference unveiling the new Choose Life license plate that will be available in Nebraska beginning January of 2018. This is a specialty license plate. Of course, most people by now are familiar with the specialty Mountain Lion license plate. Well, now not only can Nebraskans voice their support for conserving mountain lions, they can also do so for conserving human life, thanks to a bill that was passed earlier in this year by the Nebraska legislature to create this specialty plate, and people are just thrilled with the design. It's a beautiful Nebraska landscape with a picturesque sunset and a silhouette of a mother walking hand in hand with her child, and at the bottom it says Choose Life. It's a very positive, uplifting message. It represents an important opportunity for our citizens to celebrate the culture of life and further the pro-life message. And Nebraska Family Alliance was proud to have supported this bill and help make it a reality and be there at the press conference last week with the governor, who was very supportive of the efforts to create this pro-life license plate that had to overcome fierce opposition in the legislature just to pass a specialty license plate. But we were able to do so thanks to the senator responsible for introducing and carrying that bill, Senator Dan Watermeyer of Syracuse, who I am honored to have with me now in the studio today to talk about this. Senator, thanks so much for being here in studio, and congratulations on the very successful unveiling of the Choose Life license plate.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Nate. Thank you so much for having me.
What was that like for you to see the final unveiling of the license plate?
You know, it was really a thrill to see it come together in such an awesome place as the Bethlehem House as well, and all the good work they do was very appropriate. But to be honest, I had almost, it's been such a long time ago since the bill passes in April or May, whenever it was, and signed into law by the governor. And when I got the call about what the plate looked like, I was just absolutely thrilled and glad to be a part of it.
Well, it's a beautifully designed plate, and we've got a great reaction to it. People are excited about it. Why, Senator, did you decide to introduce this bill?
You know, it wasn't just because Nebraska needed it and had 26 or 7 state to offer the plate. It was just all the encompassing the life issues, you know, the life beginning at conception through natural death. So many of those things are just on the tip of my tongue in so many ways, and I was just glad to do it. It just seemed like a natural fit for me to do it. And I feel like maybe the body or the lobby and those involved trust me to just stand firm and not get into an argumentative battle over it, but just stand firm and just say, you know, this is what I believe in, and allow the vote to go as it is.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You have been a senator who's stood very strong for the things you believe in and the values that Nebraskans care about. And so one thing with this bill, it drew a lot of attention, and it seemed like a lot of people wanted to perhaps make it sound more controversial than it actually was. This is just creating another option for people to have. No one has to buy it, and the money goes to support a good cause, doesn't it?
Exactly. You know, we changed the bill right at the end as I introduced it on the floor to allow the funds to go to a grant program that the federal government already offers to all the states, and Nebraska's a beneficiary of the TANF funds, Temporary Needy Assistance for Needy Families. And so this is just going to benefit that fund to a small degree. But you're right in the fact that it's not controversial, and the state's not demanding you have a Choose Life plate. The state's not taking a position. The state's offering this as a voluntary position that you can have on your plate.
Well, I know a lot of Nebraskans will appreciate being able to purchase it and have it as an option. And you had to overcome not one, not two, but 6 filibusters to pass this bill. Were you surprised by the level of opposition that you encountered in the legislature?
Not really, because that group on both sides of this issue are passionate and they're not afraid to speak their minds. And the individuals that I listen to and respect the most in the state of Nebraska just said, stand firm and be there. But it was a little bit amusing when I started thinking about the bill. You think about one bill and 3 files to make it, and then you realize, oh my gosh, we have an A bill, which is an appropriations bill. All of a sudden it has 6 levels to go through. Typically in the legislature, though, A bills are not filibustered. But on this bill, Senator Chambers had decided to hold his ground and fight every single step of the way. So it was a lot of standing time to take it.
Well, that seems awfully ironic to me in that Senator Chambers, of course, has his specialty license plate with the mountain lion on it that's been very popular. Why do you think it is that we could have a plate to protect and preserve mountain lions, but it was so controversial to have one about human life?
You know, that is a good question. And as I brought that up on the floor, they really never got a good answer out of that as well. And when I reminded people, this is a voluntary thing. The state is not demanding that we all have either conserve mountain lions or choose life plates. It's a voluntary message that's completely at the choice of the individual. And really, we have to remember that even owning a vehicle is a privilege. In the state of Nebraska, we're not demanded to have it. So it's all about our privileges that we have in the state.
Well, that too is a great point. And you know, for all the talk of the controversy and the number of filibusters, the final vote was actually 35-5. So only 5 senators opposed it. So you certainly had a lot of support in the body. But this is something that has been attempted in previous years, and we finally got it done this year. Why do you think you were able to be successful?
You know, I don't really take the credit for being successful on this. A lot of this is timing. You know, the environment has changed. In 2017, it was just different. The timing was right, probably better than it was in 11 or 12 or whenever it was tried before that. So I wouldn't say that I would take credit for being the champion of the process that made it get through, other than just a lot of it was timing and the state was right. And I think those people that really wanted this finally spoke up and said, enough is enough. Let's get the bill passed and have it.
And my understanding is 29 other states already have this plate, so it's nothing new. Senator, why is this issue, defending life, so important to you, whether it's a license plate or something beyond, different legislation, both at the beginning of life and even at the end of life issues as well?
You know, for me, Nate, it all comes down to this idea of hope. And for me, I'm so convinced that life begins at conception, and I think life follows through a natural death. We're on this earth at not our choosing, and God has a plan for us. And when the time begins and when the time ends is in His plan, not our plan. And I just feel like that's the message that I need to be able to convey, and I'm not afraid to say that.
And there was a fabulous press conference last week to unveil the license plate. The governor was there, lieutenant governor, as well as a number of pro-life groups there to support the bill. But what really put it in perspective for me was while we were standing there to see this plate, there was a number of mothers with their newborn babies. And to me, just when you see that, you know, that innocent child, this sort of puts things in perspective and reminds us of what this is really all about.
It really is. I mean, that's a good point. The idea that those women, you know, give up their life to create life is what it's all about in regards to that.
So as a state senator, what would you say to people who are listening about the difference that they can make by being engaged with the issues and contacting their state senator?
You know, a lot of times the lobby gets a rap in the fact that the public doesn't perceive the lobby as a good thing. But I tell this to everybody in my constituency in the first district, that the lobby is all of us, but the lobby works to get the name across, to get the issue across, to focus the issue. And so I would say, don't be afraid to call your senator. Don't be afraid to call anyone that you have a view on, and then organize your group, organize your thoughts, because collectively, it's so much more powerful to come in to speak to me as a senator. And I remember this on other issues before I was a senator, that when you have an organization that comes in that knows they have a vested interest in something, you probably look at that a little bit different. But when someone comes in with not a vested interest, but what they're just thinking is the best for the state and to get their message across, that's a powerful message. And when people take the time to do that, it's very powerful.
I think you're absolutely right. And so we're in the interim right now. The legislature is not in session. They'll be reconvening at the beginning of the year in January. What does the time look like for state senators right now when you're not in session?
You know, we really never slow down. And when I took the job on, I knew it was going to be whatever I wanted to make it. And if you decide you want to really pour yourself into it, it's going to take all of your time. And that's what I've tried to do. I know I'm here for a short period of time, two sessions or two elected cycles. And so I just feel like I never say no to anything. If somebody really feels like they want me to be involved in it, I'm going to listen and probably take the charge for them. So there's really no interim for me, especially as a chairman of the board. We're involved with administrative decisions all the time. But I just really look forward to the interim because it's a chance for me to get to know constituents better and to listen to what's really going on out in the country, what they want to talk about.
Well, you're absolutely right. It never does slow down. But this year's session was described by many people as being unprecedented and maybe a little unusual and rocky. Was that your experience with this year's session?
You know, I'm in my fifth year here, and I don't have a whole lot of background to experience it by, but I think what we witnessed here a little bit in Nebraska was a little bit that's going on in the state and the federal level as well. The people have spoken pretty loudly and pretty clearly, and they demand some changes. They demand to be heard. And so in a lot of ways, I think we're seeing just exactly what the people want and constituencies want to be debating a little bit more and more.
And so as you're preparing to head into next session, starting in January, can you give us any insight on things that maybe you're anticipating or what the main focus of the session will be this year?
Well, as the chairman of the executive board, I'm also involved with the forecasting board. And so we were disappointed. We had some changes in our number. The forecasting board has reduced their numbers that are coming in as far as projected revenues to the state. So that's first and foremost on everybody's mind is somewhat standing their ground, protecting the dollars in the sense that they've maybe had over the years. And so that's going to be the first push is people are coming in, let's protect what we've had in the past. But I will tell you that there's just going to have to be a hard look at everything that the government spends their money on, and we're going to have to define it and prioritize it. And I serve on appropriations as well, and a lot of those conversations are really good because it forces the conversation to have what really is important and how do we want to prioritize the few limited dollars that we have.
Well, it certainly, I think it's going to, the session will have to focus and address the budget shortfall that we're facing that continues to become more and more difficult. And I know the legislature is going to have to address that again this next year. Do you think that, you know, based on what happened in this year's session with the budget, that the legislature is going to have to do more to address the shortfall?
It certainly looks like that, I would say. And that was another reason that I quietly pushed the Choose Life plate last year so hard, because I'm afraid this year it's going to be very constrained. And then the motions may run a little bit higher yet. And so I think it's just better to have this bill behind us and in the law and ready to go.
Well, we were, the Nebraska Family Alliance was proud to help support that bill, as I know many other pro-life groups were as well. And one other issue that's so unique to Nebraska is having the unicameral that's also bipartisan. And that plays out very interestingly on the floor when senators debate and they have to run for office not as a Republican or Democrat. And we hear a lot about the legislature becoming more partisan. Do you think that that's been a problem?
You know, I really don't see it as a problem. I see it as exactly what the state and its constituents are demanding. They're demanding that their voice be heard. And so this idea that it's getting a little more tense or it's maybe getting a little bit difficult to do things is exactly what the average constituent sees in the country. And so I don't really view it as a partisan issue on anything that we debate about. And I remind people every day, we're so blessed in Nebraska to have the unicameral system. It is nonpartisan. It's listening to what the people want. And one of the main things I remind people of every day is if a person wants to have a bill introduced and a senator is willing to introduce it, that bill is guaranteed to have a hearing. Nowhere across the country does that happen. You can have a speaker or a president of that body say, I don't like that bill. We're just not going to schedule it. That doesn't happen in Nebraska. Every bill gets a hearing. If it's got a senator that's willing to introduce it, it's going to have a public hearing.
That's a crucial step in the political process, and also a lot of more work for you after having to attend all of the committee hearings and pay close attention to every single bill, which this year was over 600 introduced. As a state senator, how do you take that on when there's so many bills to look at, and as you're preparing to debate one on the floor, what kind of lens are you looking through when you read those bills?
You know, a lot of times what I will say is that there's awful lot of value to a bill that may not even make it out of committee yet. Because it's had its fair share of debate, the public is now getting ramped up for either the next year or the year after. But a lot of times we will have, I will call, stakeholders that come together behind the scenes and actually work together to figure out something that could be done without a statute change, without a law change. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting the bureaucracy together with the constituents and the lobby, and they'll get it figured out without actually having to change the law. So the public hearings are just a great venue as far as the debate in the public's eye.
And Senator, you ran as someone who is pro-life and pro-family and believes in upholding, you know, the Nebraska values that so many people in our state care about. How have you been able to stay true and uphold those values as well as while you're serving in those very important leadership positions in the legislature?
You know, it's a struggle every day. We're all affected by sin, and it creeps into our lives, and you have to be mindful of it and wary of it, and all of a sudden you realize you're in it, and then you have to slam that door as quickly as you possibly can. But for me, what I've tried to do in my time in those as a legislature is everything I do centers around family values. But our family values have changed even in my 50 years of life. You know, our family values have changed, and the country has changed, and the state of Nebraska has changed. We expect an awful lot out of our government and our churches and our schools to do the work that we really need to be doing inside the family. And everything that I can do to push that, to support that family unit, is where I would like to head. Because to me, that's where the sanctity of our country is going to be, and the salvation of our country is going to come from, is the family unit.
I think you're absolutely right. So my last question for you, in the face of a culture that's changing rapidly and perhaps is becoming less accepting of those family values, how do you think people in Nebraska can work together amongst themselves and with elected officials to help make sure that we're preserving and promoting those values that are so central to our lives?
You know, Nate, I've thought about that in the past before, and I don't think Nebraskans need to do a whole lot different than what they've done for a long, long time. They need to be witness to Christ, and their example will shine through. And that's why Nebraska always shines forward as far as their family values. If we just stay the course, but yes, there are times you need to speak up, you need to make known your opinions, and you need to make known your opinions to elected officials, but it still comes down to that witness and that example that we set every day.
Well, I can't say it any better than that, and that's great to hear from an elected official. So, Senator Watermeyer, thank you for being on the program today. Thank you for the tremendous work you are doing on behalf of Nebraskans and our state legislature.
Glad to be here.
Again, you can get the Choose Life specialty license plate beginning in January. It's just an extra $5, and that money goes towards the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Fund to help support families who are most in need. So it's a great plate. It's an important cause. And you can find more information about this and read about the Choose Life license plate over at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We've got information on the plate up on our website. And when it comes time to order a plate and you want to get the Choose Life license plate, you can just go to the DMV website, dmv.nebraska.gov, and click on the license plates and you'll see a new specialty Choose Life license plate. We are now quickly approaching oral arguments for one of the most significant and consequential First Amendment cases of our lifetime. This is the case of Masterpiece Cake Shop and Jack Phillips, the Christian cake artist and baker from Colorado, who will finally have his day in court on this Tuesday, December 5th. It has been an incredibly long journey for Jack and everyone who has been supporting him and working on this case that is going to have major implications for both free speech and religious freedom in the United States. Essentially, the Supreme Court's decision in this case could determine whether the government may force or coerce individuals to create custom art that violates their conscience, and consequently, whether all Americans have that same right to not be forced to promote speech or participate in events or create art that they disagree with. So far, Jack Phillips has lost every step of the way. The Colorado Civil Rights Commission in 2014 determined that his decision to live by his conscience and convictions and politely decline to participate in a same-sex wedding, even though he will serve them anything in his store, they decided that that was unlawful, and he was ordered to either make the cake or quit making wedding cakes altogether. So he has lost about 40% of his business and was required to get training and have to report to the commission quarterly. So Jack is asking the Supreme Court to make a final ruling in his favor that the government overstepped its authority when it compels him and any artist to force artists to use their expressive talents to celebrate events or express ideas that they do not support. And there are some really important things for people to know about not just this case, but about Jack. Jack Phillips is a very kind, humble man who never asked for any of this. I've had the privilege of meeting Jack and getting to spend time with him on a number of different occasions. I've been in his shop in Colorado. He is an incredible baker and cake artist, and there's a reason that his shop has been described as an art gallery of cakes. He pours himself into his work, and also Jack serves everyone. Jack will serve any individual who walks through the doors of his shop. Any customer is welcome to buy any of the items available for purchase, but Jack chooses not to create custom cakes that celebrate events or express messages that conflict with his faith. And for that reason, he will not design custom wedding cakes that celebrate same-sex marriages, nor will he create cakes that celebrate things like Halloween or contain anti-American or even anti-gay family themes or promote things like racism and indecency. He has certain standards and he tries to live by them. So at the heart of this case is artistic and religious freedom. The First Amendment forbids the government from forcing creative professionals to promote messages, produce art, or celebrate events that go against their will. The First Amendment also promises that we are all free to peacefully live and work consistently with our religious beliefs. And again, that freedom is for all Americans. And Jack is simply asking that this cherished freedom be preserved, not just for him, but for everyone else as well. And that's why this case is so significant, because if Jack loses, we all lose, and not just Christians or people of faith, everyone. Because no matter your religion, we all have beliefs that we hold dear. And for some people like Jack, those beliefs are religious, but for others, those beliefs relate to issues like politics or other matters central to their identity. And if Jack is forced to create custom artwork against his beliefs and core convictions, others may similarly be compelled to create various forms of expression or speech that they disagree with. For example, the government could force a Muslim singer to perform at a Christian religious event, or order a Democrat speechwriter to draft speeches for a Republican candidate. And we've seen this played out before, where bakeries in California refused to make a pro-Donald Trump cake, and there were designers who refused to work with the First Lady. This is all about people being allowed to make business decisions and live according to their sincerely held beliefs. So this is all going to be argued before the United States Supreme Court this Tuesday, December 5th. First Amendment freedoms will be on the line, and I will have an update for you on what happens next week. with a team member from Alliance Defending Freedom, the organization representing Jack and arguing his case. So I hope you will tune in next week. And as always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join the movement to stand for family, freedom, and life. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director at Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.